Scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It's on page 978 in the Pew Bibles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
You can always trust me with the sermon, but you can never trust me with how many verses of the hymn we're going to do. I'd just like to watch you all scramble a little bit when I announce that I'm going to do a final hymn and you've already put your hymn books away. It just keeps you on your toes, gets you ready to pay attention for the sermon. As we begin this morning, we are concluding this passage that has dealt extensively with the doctrine of the church in Ephesians 4. And we have seen from the beginning, 1 through, in fact, 16, we will see, deals with Paul's teaching to the church of Ephesus regarding both their urge to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, of basically what that calling represents, what we believe in that calling, of talking about how Christ has given us grace, and ultimately that grace is also given in what gifts that we have within the church. And now finally, as we bring this to a close, I want to share some thoughts about verses 15 and 16, and then ultimately give us sort of a summation of this chunk, as it were, from verses 1 through 16. Verse 15 states again, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Our aim is to the unity of faith as seen in last... Sorry, that's not scripture. The head unto Christ. Now we have a contrast here of this issue of truth in love. If you recall last week, we had this passage here, and one thing that Paul warned about was the teaching of false teachers. Notice that he had that in there, that we have to be careful about these people. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be carried, longer to be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the craftiness and deceitful scheming, as it were. And so Paul has warned us already that one of the things that we have to be careful about, once we've accomplished all this other, once we are acting worthy of our calling, once we are subscribing to the doctrines of Scripture, once we recognize that grace has been given that the church may be one, that's only the beginning. After that, there is still that guard we must stand tall about as we see that there is, in many ways, wrong teaching. Just this week, I don't spend much time on Facebook or any of those things, but several of my friends sent videos, and you know, it's both a blessing and a curse. One can find infinite amounts of information to look at, but one can easily get trapped in doing nothing but looking at that information, even with preaching videos. There's, you know, think about how we are blessed in that sense, that you have at your fingertips able to hear some great biblical sermons just by clicking the mouse. But even then, you can spend almost so much time listening to that that you don't really go and practice what you've already learned. And so my friends were sending a video about how there is a teacher who is within the Southern Baptist Church that is now claiming that the Old Testament is of no use whatsoever to the Christian life. This is not new. As I've said before, heresies just take different forms, but the flavors are usually the same as the early church. Marcion in the early church basically taught the same thing, that basically the Old Testament was nothing but simply for the Jewish people, and therefore it was of no consequence to the New Testament Christian. Even though he had good intentions there, they were wrong. It was wrongful teaching. And it, again, beloved, I'm not just saying, as we talked about last week, that when we have to be on guard against this kind of teaching, it's not always so obvious. It's not always so clear. Many times, as what's the old saying, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And quite frankly, many times with that issue there, it's a situation where that individual thinks that they are gratifying and uplifting the church. This is why I say many times that even in our services, even with me, and as I said, that you can generally trust me on Scripture, just not hymn verses, that you should still look at your Word. Study your Word. Study what the Bible says. See that it matches up. Prepare yourself for the sermon. And be in prayer as I prepare for the sermon as well. One of the fundamental things that you learn as being a pastor is that the first person you're preaching to is yourself, more than anybody else. And then you see how the Word speaks. Now, Paul offers this contrast. He has told you about false teachers that speak in deceit. And what is the Christian supposed to do? Speak the truth in love. Now, there's a lot there in just those few words. First of all, the truth. You have to speak the truth. As it is Mother's Day, I will give you several little stories about my mother behind this. My mother has always had a saying, which quite frankly has been very, very true. She said that you may not always like what I have to say, but I'm always going to be truthful with you. And my mother will say things that no other person could get by with, except maybe Silvana. And she would just tell you. I mean, my mother's the type that will walk in and if we were to show up today after church to South Carolina, she would tell me whether or not she liked my tie. That would be there. It would be complete honesty. But yet also, my mother and my father taught me, just as we just sang about the homes that Christ is there, where God is there, is that you have to tell people the truth. And the truth is not something that our modern culture wants to hear. But not only do we speak the truth, not only do we stand for doctrinal integrity, but we have to do it in love. That's even harder. Many of us, when we see something that's going on, when we see a Marcion come about on the stage and tells you that half the Bible, actually really three quarters of the Bible, is no longer important, what do we want to do? We want to go out there and go to war and take this guy down. But what Scripture says is that when we even speak that truth, we must do it in love. In love. As Christians witness to the truth of the gospel, they cannot utilize the same methods as false teachers or the world or the devil for that matter. We have to have this true issue of in love. This is an interesting phrase, in love. It occurs six times in Ephesians. Now, many of you probably think, why even look at that? Well, I subscribe to the inerrancy of Scripture, and I also subscribe to the fact that then God has a purpose in how He presented this word. And when something appears many times, particularly a phrase, that should make every one of you think, why is that phrase being used? If God is the author, in which I believe He is, and He has given us this Scripture, then when He emphasizes a word or a phrase, it is for us to hang on to that. In love. It begins and ends this paragraph on unity, diversity, and maturity in the body of Christ. Notice that we have it several places in here. Verse 1 of 4, as we bring this whole section to a conclusion. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. It's sort of like it's the entrance gate. Incidentally, we live in an area where basically there are many neighborhoods. You always see that there'll be these little entrances. They'll tell you where things are. And of course, it's rather redundant and rather, maybe not even redundant, but rather silly and illogical to not have the same similar gate at every entrance of the neighborhood. Otherwise, one may think that, okay, we're in a different area. The Bible does that in that it gives what we call a fancy word, inclusio. It gives us this phrase to begin this section, and then it gives us this phrase at the end. It forms what we call an envelope. Similarity. We have begun this issue that even in working, walking worthy of our calling, and then He gives us attributes. How do we do those things? In love. And now what Paul is saying is that not only that, but we have to speak truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. By speaking the truth in love, then, we will all grow up in every way unto Christ. Nowhere else in Paul's writings is the cosmos said to grow up into Christ. Here the growth is comprehensive in every way. Indeed, Paul does speak about Christian growth in many of his epistles. But what he is saying here is speaking the truth in love makes us grow up in every way. And we're going to see in a moment how this all just sort of stacks up like a Lego block. You got to start with walking worthy of your calling. You got to be unified as church. And now we get to that point where we speak truth in love, and that helps us to grow. I am reminded of in my teaching and even my own learning that many times something that is difficult, the first, second, third, dare I even say 15th or 20th time, gets easier with practice. I thank God that in His providence, for whatever reason, that I was a music student when I was young. First of all, it kept me out of trouble, because when people were doing other things, I was being a nerd practicing. It helped me to focus, and it helped me to realize that in a world that we live in that is so instant, that true things take a lot of time. My kids come to me, not all of them, of course, that would be a miracle in itself, but a few of them come up to me and say, you know, I'm working on this and I just can't get it. Anything worth doing is worth doing well, and anything worth doing well takes time. The Christian life takes time. We as Christians, as we grow, we have to learn to speak the truth in love. We need to walk worthy of our calling. But this takes time. This is not something you can simply go out today and master. This is why it's so beautiful when we see a saint who has lived 50, 60, 70 years in the service of Christ go home. Because we see that issue there of growing, maturing over time. Speaking the truth in love. Grow up in every way. Beloved, if you've been a Christian for some time, your maturity needs to show. If you're not growing as a Christian, then you're not doing what you need to do that's been called, you've been called to do by Christ Jesus. You are not supposed to stay a baby forever, spiritually, physically, mentally. And it takes time. We live in an instant world where any place on the planet you can go and get somewhat edible food very quickly. We can go home and sit down and at just a mere click of a button have to our availability 300 and 400 channels of entertainment. We can go home and get on the internet and basically see space station videos, anything, look up anything that we want to buy for a cheaper price than what we think we found it for to begin with. But what the Christian life does is it takes time. It takes time. And how we do how to grow up? How are we to grow into Christ? Remember what we've said from the very beginning. This is why we went through the whole Gospel of John before we even start Ephesians. Is you've got to know the life of Christ. You've got to know what Christ did in order to mimic Him. In order to learn from what He did. In order to follow Him. That we may grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. this growth of the body has Christ as its goal. He is the one into whom we are to grow. Together, believers become more and more like their Lord so that they are fully and completely incorporated into Him. This is why a service, a sermon, a church that does not put Christ as the center is really not a service, a sermon, or a church. You must have Christ as the answer and as the center. Just as we are to grow, look at verse 16. From whom? From Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, Paul here uses analogies, and this analogy here is almost a physiological analogy, where he's talking about how the human body works and how the anatomy is, which incidentally proves that the anatomy hasn't changed since the ancient times. Okay? And so we have here this issue that Paul is using that now to just so you can get an idea of what the church is as the body of Christ. As we continue to grow, as we grow up into Him, from Him, the whole body joined together and is held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Joined and held together indicate there is an ongoing unified growth to the body. Now, let me say something very, very clear here. Many times what we take as growth, we mean as numbers. Numbers is numerical growth. And we are from America, we are in this country, and we have always been, in the history of our nation, interested in numbers. That's not a bad thing. As a math teacher, I like that. But however, what we are saying first and foremost in this passage is your growth in spiritual maturity. We pray for couples, we pray for families to come and visit. But beloved, our litmus test is not on the issue of how many people we pack into the pews. That is a business model. What we're focused on is how you all that are in the pews act more like Christ on a weekly basis. That is the important part. God will take care of the numerical growth if He sees fit. But you all are here, and you've got to grow in Christ. That's the issue. Joined and held together. By what? By every joint. Every joint. In physiology, the joints, the ligaments, make contact with other parts of the body and are the channels which extend nourishment, information from the head. The joints are the part that when you finally turn 40, as I am, still pretty young, and you're there, and Silvana is too, we sit here and we deal with joints. We had the prom last night. We went. We had a godly time. I was blessed that it showed a testament to the fact that people in high school can have a godly Christian prom, have fun, and have no whatever compromise on their morals. Having fun in America does not mean you have to be like a hedonist and sin. And I was pleased by that. But my body is killing me today. Because what it's telling me is that even though we all had godly fun, I am not of the age to have that godly fun all the time. The joints indicate that other parts of the body are tired, underdeveloped, weak, or even without the proper exercise. The joints indicate more than just simply there. And so what he's saying here, Paul is using this anatomy analogy to show how important the church is to grow and to be together, to be that part of the body of Christ. I don't think the church many times recognizes the huge responsibility of being, beloved, the body of Jesus Christ. By every joint, Every member of the body has been given grace. Notice that. It makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in what? In love. There it is again. We've had it in the beginning. We've had it there at that big point about how we are to speak the truth in love. And now he closes the section with that same phrase, in love. Every member of the body has grace. They have that given to them. They have enabling power. But they also have gifts. One of the reasons that I am convinced that the Lord called me into this position is because there was a gift that I had that needed to be developed that I was forsaking on, that I was leaving, that I was just putting over on the shelf. Many times we have gifts that God has given us, and they may not be the gifts that you and I want to exhibit, but they are there. Now, as we bring this to a conclusion, I want to give you several little things to think about as you look at this as a whole. Because this whole passage of 1 through 16 really has to be looked at as a whole and then sort of pulled apart and looked at, you know, specifically a passage and then bring it back and look again at the forest. You can't stare at the trees forever. There are two main sections here. There's verses 1 through 6. And then what we have covered with 7 through 16. The first section reminds readers of their calling into the membership of the body of Christ. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that have been redeemed by the power of God, that believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the only way unto salvation. We are in the members of the body of Christ. We are a church. Second section, 7 through 16, explains different gifts and how they contribute to the unity of that body. We have here several things that I want you to take away. First of all, from the first very beginning when we started, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As a church, as a Christian, you are to walk like your calling. You are to walk as you have been called. Remember when I preached on this, I made a comment, which I will make again, is, beloved, we do not need to, we are the church of God. And I don't think that what would bring down our little church will never be finances. It won't be any other church. It won't be the Muslims or anybody else. It will be us here today not growing as mature Christians. It will be us not speaking the truth in love. It will be us not walking worthy of the calling. That's how churches close. Yes, the devil wants them closed, but many times it's the church that shoots themselves in the foot with the way they act, which is contrary to what they're hearing every Sunday. And even worst case scenarios, they're not even hearing it on Sunday because it's not being presented. We are to walk like our calling. Notice also verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To walk worthy of your calling, you must also be faithful to the teachings of Scripture. Second point, you must be faithful to the teachings and doctrines of Scripture. If you come up with a new idea that you think Jesus wasn't God and He was just a nice magician, then you are no longer being faithful to Scripture. And by not being faithful to Scripture, you cannot walk worthy of your calling. And you cannot be part of the unity of the church. There are certain fundamentals that we have to subscribe to. And those things basically are what Scripture teaches here. That little sort of catechism there of verses 4 through 6. Those are non-negotiables. Those are things that you're not allowed the pleasure of diverging from. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be basically talking in our committees about a statement of where we're going to make a very clear statement as a church about what we define as marriage. I think that's a sad situation that we have to do that. But beloved, that's just where we are in our world. That's where we are in our culture. We have to be able to tell people what we feel the Bible teaches very clearly of what is marriage and what is not marriage. And if that makes people mad, I'm sorry. That's still speaking the truth. But we can still do it in love. But the love does not sort of check out the truth. You see what I mean? Faithfulness to the teachings of Scripture. The third point from this section is that grace has been given to us in two forms. The general salvific grace that we have from Christ and Christ alone, that we can believe in Him and we can get redemption from our sins. But we also have been given the grace of gifts. Every one of you has spiritual gifts you can contribute to this church. Does that mean every one of you are teachers? No. Every one of you speakers? No. But every one of you have gifts. And you must ask yourself throughout the week, why am I here at this place and the Holy Spirit is moving me to say something to someone or minister to someone? That's just part of the process. You never know why you're at a certain moment in a certain place. But God knows because He is sovereign. He knows. Grace that has been given to us, that we may be thankful for our redemption and our salvation. But we may also exercise those gifts of grace that we may give them to the church. That we may be part of those joints. That we may be part of those ligaments. That we may be part of that body in whose head is Christ the Lord. That we may speak truth in love. That we may live our life worthy of the calling in love. And that may we know that Christ has given us the church in love. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Amen.